us first before we get started, and then we're going to jump into this amazing passage. So let's bow our heads and let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks. We thank you that those words, as we've just heard, are pure. They're precious. They're like silver. As we get into this psalm, as we think about what you're saying to us here, would we hear those silver words this morning? And would you give us hearts that want to respond in love, in faith, and in obedience as well? Amen.
Amen.
Well, when I was at primary school, some of my classmates used to say to each other, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." I don't know if you ever heard that one before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Now that stuck with me because it is completely untrue. It's completely false, isn't it? Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can cut to the heart. We all know the power of words, don't we? There's a power in words for great good and also power for terrible evil. Our new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, in one of his first speeches since becoming Prime Minister, spoke about how the fight for trust is the battle that defines our age. We live in a world, don't we? A world of untruth and insincerity. A world of speech that's used to manipulate, of words that are used to snatch things from others. We see that on the school playground. We see it in our workplaces. We see it in our governments, both here in the UK and in the governments of those that are here from other parts of the world. We see it on our TV screens. We see it on social media. We see it in offices, in our homes, and in our church as well. And look, before we start yearning for the good old days, we have to remember that this isn't just a modern thing. David wrote Psalm 12 many, many centuries ago, but this could have been written this very week. This is a lament. It's a cry of anguish and pain in the midst of a lying world. It's a cry to God for help. And it's a cry that is wonderfully and amazingly answered. And as we get into this psalm, we're going to see that words can bring great good. They can bring hope. They can bring joy. They can bring promise. Three things come out of this psalm. We're going to look at them in turn. And the first one is this, down there in verses 1 to 4, it's David's prayer. Look down with me at Psalm 12, verse 1, page 452, and you'll see that this psalm starts very sharply, doesn't it? Do you see the first three words there? "Save, O Lord." Why? Well, David looks around and he feels like he's all alone. Verse 1, "The godly one is gone. The faithful have vanished from among the children of man." Whether they've been killed off or whether they've been seduced and given up, we don't know. But we do know that David feels like he's all on his own. What's going on? What's going on there? Have a look down at verse 2 with me. "Everyone utters lies to his neighbor." The Hebrew poetry calls those lies empty words. They're words, but they have nothing in them. Those people speak, verse 2 again, have a look down there. They speak with flattering lips. The Hebrew poetry says smooth words. They speak with a double heart. They say one thing, but they mean something completely different. David is surrounded by people who manipulate each other with their mouths. People who use their words to gain things from each other. Lying, twisting, speaking empty words of empty truth. Saying flattering things to a person's face, but when they're looking away, saying something completely different in order to gain something from them. David's in danger. He's in danger from these people. So he cries out those first three words in verse 1. "Save, O Lord." It's short. It's sharp. There's no pleasantries. There's no polite words. There's no religious words here. It's literally just help. But David doesn't stop there. Have a look down at verse 3. He cries out, verse 3, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Now look, he's not calling for some kind of grotesque mutilation to go on here. This is poetry, and the flattering lips and the boasting tongues are poetic ways of referring to the person that speaks with the flattering lips and the person that speaks with the boasting tongue. Now, David is asking God to rescue by judging those who are manipulating others with those empty, smooth, deceptive words. He's asking God to remove these people, to cut them out from his people with force in an almighty show of justice. Which all sounds a bit extreme, doesn't it? That sounds rather extreme. I mean, these are just words, aren't they? Just words. This is all a little bit extreme, a bit, you know, a bit un-British. Well, let's have a look at James chapter 3, shall we? James chapter 3, verses 5 to 8 say this about our tongues. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they don't just cut to the heart. They can set the forest on fire. They can poison whole communities. Have a look down at Psalm 12, verse 4. With our tongue, these are the people speaking, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? These people here are arrogant. They're boastful. And verse 5, have a look down there. They plunder the poor. They make the needy groan. These are not just words that are being spoken here. These empty, smooth, tricksy words are weaponized. They're not words, they're weapons. The downtrodden in society are being trodden down even more. I wonder, did you spot the arrogance there? This incredible arrogance. With our tongue, we will prevail. Who's master over us? David, who wrote this psalm, is king at the time. And yet these people think that they're in control, that they can get away with it. Our lips are with us. They'll just talk their way out of it. This psalm could have been written today. This psalm could have been written today. Back in 2017, we were introduced to that amazing phrase, weren't we? Back then, 2017, we were introduced to the phrase, alternative facts. Kellyanne Conway, who was then counselor to President Trump, said that those two words, alternative facts. A few days beforehand, Sean Spicer, who was the White House press secretary after Trump's first inauguration, had described the size of Trump's crowd at his inauguration as being greater than that of Obama, which was completely not true. You could look and see on the pictures, it wasn't true. And later on, an interview was had with Kellyanne Conway, and she was asked why the press secretary of the White House would utter a provable falsehood. Kellyanne Conway replied that he was just giving alternative facts. But look, let's not beat up on the Americans, because it happens here in the UK as well. We've seen it in the last few years, haven't we? The stoking up and the stirring up of anger, of passions, the twisting of facts to create a hysteria around those who are simply coming here to look for sanctuary. Some of them are here amongst us, We join rightly with David in Psalm 12 saying, Lord, please uphold justice. Save us and save our country from those who use their words to manipulate and gain power. Please help us. Please right the wrongs. But look, we need to be honest, don't we? This is not just an out there problem. Flattering words that we've spoken in our workplaces to make things a bit easier for us or for us to get that promotion. Lies that we've told to protect ourselves. Clever, deceptive words that we've spoken to make it a bit better for us in our friendships, in our families, in our marriages, in our gospel teams. James chapter 3 continues. Verse 9 says, with our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. This isn't just an out there problem. It's an in here problem as well. One of the great cries of our age is that when we're faced with power plays, like we're reading about in Psalm 12, how on earth can we trust people? That's one of the great things that's said right now. If people claim to speak truth and use their words to twist and to push other people down, how can we trust anyone who claims to say anything true? What are they trying to do to us? How are they trying to manipulate us? That's the way that many people feel towards politicians. People who say, I don't vote. I can't trust them. They're all a bunch of liars. And that's the way that many people feel towards the church. I can't trust them. They're all a bunch of liars. Perhaps that's been your experience as well. What's really interesting in this psalm is that David is talking about people who are amongst God's people. The people that are using their words in this destructive way in Psalm 12, they're not out there people, they're in here people. And what David does here is he turns to God and he says, God, rescue me, right these wrongs. And wonderfully, amazingly, God replies. And this is the second thing that we're going to see down there in verses 5 to 6 of Psalm 12. The Lord hears David and speaks to him. Have a look down at verse 5. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. Those who speak with flattering lips and boasting tongues believed that they were the masters of their own destiny. They thought that they were gods of their own lives. Who's master over us? No one. I'm in control. I'm in control. But here, do you see, here the true master speaks. Though they thought that they were gods of their own existence, now the God of the universe speaks. He's going to act. Do you see why? Verse 5, have a look down there. Because the poor are plundered. Because the needy, including David, that is, groan. The Lord says, I will now arise and I will place him, that's the poor and the needy and David, I will place him in the safety for which he longs. That's the safety that David was crying out for in verse 1. We're not told what it's going to look like, but God promises that it will happen. He will do these things. And here's the thing. Here's the amazing, wonderful truth of this psalm. The Lord's words are they're completely different to the words, those other words that have been spoken to David. Have a look down at verse 6 with me. Verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Back in the ancient world, when this psalm was written, silver was mined out of the ground, where it was found in lead ore. This lead ore had silver in it, and they would get the silver out by heating it up, by smelting it repeatedly in furnaces, like the furnace in the ground that's mentioned there. And then, as it was heated up, the silver could be separated from the lead. As you did this over and over, you would increase the purity. It would become more and more pure as all the impurities were removed. What would be left at the end is pure, precious silver. Verse 6, do you see what it says down there? That process, that purifying process, happens seven times over. The Lord's silver words, as pure as silver purified seven times over, those words, these words that we've got in our Bibles, these words are infinitely precious. They're infinitely precious because of whom they promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ." You see, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In Jesus Christ, God kept that promise to arise. In Jesus Christ, God kept his promise and placed us in the safety for which we long. Jesus came, and like David who wrote this psalm, and like us in our experience, Jesus came and walked amongst people who used their tongues to try and trick and manipulate and catch him out. Behind all of that is Satan, who is the father of lies. Psalm 12 was written by David, but it was sung by Jesus Christ. At Jesus' arrest, everyone fled from him, just like we read in Psalm 12, verse 1. The faithful had vanished from around Jesus. He stood alone. At Jesus' trial, the authorities lied, and they spoke empty words. They spoke smooth words, spoke with double truth to try and catch him out. "Who's master over us?" they asked. "King of the Jews? We have no king but Caesar," they said. Whilst that was all happening, outside in the courtyard, Peter, who was Jesus' good friend and one of his greatest followers, spoke with a double heart, didn't he? He spoke with flattering lips and uttered a lie. Peter said, "No, I don't know Jesus." And as we read this psalm, that's where we are. We're with Peter. Peter, who often didn't have control of his mouth. Peter, who messed up and said things that he shouldn't have. We're on the wrong side of this psalm. We've all used our tongues in ways that we shouldn't have. But wonderfully, and please hear this morning, wonderfully, the Lord Jesus' silver words are words of grace. On the cross, Jesus spoke these silver words. These are the silver words that Jesus spoke when he was on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And so, like Peter, we're not cut off, even though we deserve it. On Easter Sunday, the Lord Jesus didn't arise from the tomb in judgment. But on Easter Sunday, Jesus came up out of the tomb. He arose with forgiveness on his lips. Those were the silver words. Peter may have used his tongue to disown Jesus, and so do we so often. But those same words that Jesus spoke to Peter, he speaks to us this morning. The silver words that Jesus says to us this morning are words of welcome. Words of forgiveness, words of mercy, and words of a fresh start, words of grace. And because Jesus speaks those words, we know that we're going to be placed in safety, in that safety for which we long. All God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. Our third point is down there in verses 7 to 8. And this morning, this is what I think the Lord is asking us through this psalm. I think he's asking us, who are you going to listen to this week? David answers his answer in verse 7, and this is our third point here. Have a look down at verse 7. David says, having looked round and seen the lying words around him, having heard the promises, the silver promises of the Lord, David responds by saying, "You, O Lord, will keep them. You, O Lord, will keep your promises." Those silver words of mercy spoken, those pure promises that are yes and amen in Jesus, you, O Lord, will keep them. Though I might be surrounded by lying lips, though I'm in the minority, though I groan in my neediness, you, O Lord, will keep me. You will guard us, verse 7 says, you will guard us from this generation forever. But have a look at verse 8. Do have a look down. The situation doesn't change. Do you see that down there in verse 8? On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. We're back in verse 1, aren't we? We're back in verse 1. The situation is exactly the same. Nothing's changed. Or has it? You see, David steps out at the end of verse 8, and we step out here in a few short minutes. We step out, and David steps out of Psalm 12, resting in those silver words that the Lord has spoken. Though the wicked prowl, though vileness is exalted, we can be confident. We can be confident in the Lord's pure promises that we've been placed in safety in the Lord Jesus. We're guarded in him. Though plundered and groaning, and some amongst us really are literally plundered for their faith, have had to leave their homes and countries, and many of us are groaning for the faith that we confess with our mouths, though plundered and groaning, we can be confident because we're rich. We're rich beyond all measure because we've heard the Lord's precious words, those pure silver words. So as we close, can I ask you this question? Who are you going to listen to this week? Who are you going to listen to this week? Verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace of the ground, purified seven times." Have a listen to these wonderful words that the Lord speaks to us through this psalm. "In Jesus Christ," the Father says, "in Jesus Christ, I have arisen. I have placed you, in him, in the safety for which you long. All my promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Amen." We're going to take a couple of moments of quiet. What's the Lord saying to you through this? What do you need to say back to the Lord in response to this? A couple of moments of quiet for reflection, and then we're going to sing our next song. "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace of the ground, purified seven times. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place you in the safety for which you long." Dear Father, help us to hear your words. Help us to rest confident in the fact that you keep your promises, that you have kept your promises, that all those promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Help us to rest in that. Help us to enjoy that. And give us great joy as we walk out of here at the end of this service. Amen. Let's stand.